Good morning. This is the meeting of the Utah State Tax Commission. It is 9 o'clock a.m. on Thursday, October 24th, 2024. This meeting is being held both in person and via Zoom. And we will quickly take a kind of roll of who's on. I'm Commissioner John Valentine, Chairman of the Commission. I also have Commissioner Rebecca L. Rockwell in the room with me today. So let's start with the people in the room, and then we'll go to the people online. First, the people in the room, Scott.
Scott Smith, Executive Director of the Tax Commission.
Sean Piasper, Executive Assistant.
Jason Gardner, Director of Policy, Planning, and Public Affairs.
Larry Ball, Director of Motor Vehicle Enforcement.
Cole Mack, the Assistant Director of Motor Vehicle Enforcement.
Sonia Jorgensen, Executive Director of the Independent Auto Dealers Association of Utah.
I'm Nick Marcosian. I'm the president of the Used Car Dealer Association of Utah.
And Sonia and Nick, good to have you with us today. Okay, let's go to those online, starting with Commissioner Cragen.
Good morning. I'm Michael Cragen, Tax Commissioner.
Yeah. Before we go on, I might indicate that Commissioner Freskas is attending a judicial conference on behalf of the commission, and so is excused from today's meeting. I declare we have a quorum. Go ahead, Deanna, next.
Okay, Deanna Herring, Deputy Executive Director.
Denny Lytle, Senior Director of Property and Miscellaneous Tax.
Mary Hansen, Director of Miscellaneous Tax.
Jonathan Nielsen, Director of Property Tax.
Alex, you're also a Commission Economist.
Michelle Lombardi, Utah Attorney General's Office.
I have a couple others who are online, if you identify yourself. Bridger, Jeff, Shannon.
Yes, I'm Bridger Beal-Savetko with KSL.com.
Thank you, Bridger.
Jeff Watson, board member of the Utah Independent Auto Dealers Association.
Thank you.
Shannon Sollett with the Salt Lake Tribune.
Thank you, Shannon. I have one that's Pete.
Yes, my name is Pete. I'm a member of the board of the Used Car Association of Utah.
Thank you, Pete. Welcome. Got a couple of other people join us in the room today. Let's go ahead and identify yourselves for the record, please.
Yeah, Adam Jones with Independent Dealer Solutions and the RV Dealers Association.
Wayne Jones, same.
Aren't you a ghost, Wayne?
Sorry. Something like that.
Something like that. Good to have you guys with us as well.
Thank you.
So anybody that I missed?
Alan.
Alan Shinney, Senior Director of Enforcement for the Utah State Tax Commission.
Thank you, Alan. Anybody I've missed online? Seeing none, then next item on the agenda is the general public comment period for individuals wishing to address the commission for up to 3 minutes on matters not related to a pending or reasonably imminent appeal to the tax commission. We have one public comment period on another item later in the agenda, so we will not use this time for that. Is there anyone who wishes to have anything else they wish to bring to the commission? Seeing none, I'll go on to the next item on the agenda. Next item on the agenda is to consider approving commission meeting minutes of our September 26th and the special committee minutes of September 30th, 2024. I recognize Commissioner Cragen for a motion on this item.
Thank you. I move to approve the commission meeting minutes of September 26th and the special commission meeting minutes of September 30th, 2024.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Hearing none. Place the vote. Those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, rule it passes unanimously. Minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is to consider the County Board of Equalization request for extensions of time period for a County Board of Equalization to make a decision on an appeal. We have a number of those that have requested timely. We had one that missed the deadline yesterday, which we'll have to have on another commission meeting. Commissioner Cragen, I recognize you on this item.
Thank you. So the commission has received written requests from several boards of equalization to extend the time period set by Utah Code 59.2.10047C to make a decision on appeals received by the application deadline, which is in the same section of code, subsection 3A, September 15th for practical purposes. The boards explained that they're unable to process within 60 days following the board's receipt of the taxpayer's application due to the large number of 2023 appeals filed. And the county's asked the commission to extend the time period for making a decision on appeals received by September 15th, 2024 to the following: Millard County to November 19th, Grand County to December 6th, Davis County to December 15th, Carbon County to December 15th, Weber County to December 31st, Summit County to December 31st. Those are all in 2024. Utah County has requested an extension to February 28th, 2025, and Salt Lake County has requested an extension to May 6th, 2025.
Thank you. Any questions from Commissioner regarding this these requests? Seeing none, I'll recognize Commissioner Cragen for a motion.
Thank you. I move to approve the County Boards of Equalization's request to extend the time period for making a decision on appeals as they are listed in the agenda.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Hearing none, I'll place the motion. Roll call vote. Commissioner Cragen.
Aye.
Commissioner Rockwell.
Aye.
Commissioner Valentine votes aye. Motion passes unanimously. The extension dates are approved. As a footnote, we had one that came in after the deadline for posting of this meeting in the Open Meetings Act. Chante, will you remind me what county that was?
Tooele.
Tooele made a timely filing, but it wasn't in time for this particular hearing. So we'll have to get that on a future commission agenda. So we'll communicate that to Tooele. Next item on the matter on the commission's agenda this morning is to consider amending administrative rules. We have three rules, and I will identify each of those. The first is R-884-24P-28, reporting requirements for leased or rented personal property pursuant to Utah Code annotated section 59.2.306. The next one is R-884-24P-66, County Board of Equalization Procedures and Appeals, pursuant to Utah Code, annotated section 592516, 592-1001, and 592-1004. The final one is R-884-24P-53, 2025 Guides for Valuation of Land Subject to the Farmland Assessment Act, pursuant to Utah Code annotated section 592515. I recognize Commissioner Rockwell.
Thank you. The following rules were published in the Utah State Bulletin on September 15, 2024, and the public comment period ended on October 15, 2024. We did not receive any public comments on these rules. The first is R-884-24P-28. Reporting requirements for leased or rented personal property pursuant to Utah Code annotated section 592306. The proposed amendment repeals the rule. After internal research and discussion with the property and miscellaneous tax functional area, we have concluded that there's not sufficient support in the Utah Code to require the submission of the report on leased or rented heavy equipment required by this rule. Thus, the proposed amendment repeals the rule.
Thank you. Any questions of Commissioner Rockwell on this particular item? Seeing none, I recognize Commissioner Rockwell for a motion.
I move to adopt the amendments to R-884-24P-28, reporting requirements for leased or rented personal property pursuant to Utah Code annotated section 592306.
Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Hearing no debate, I'll place the motion. Roll call vote. Commissioner Rockwell.
Aye.
Commissioner Cragen.
Aye.
Commissioner Valentine votes aye. Motion passes. The amendments to R8424P28 are adopted. Next one is Commissioner Rockwell.
Thank you. The next one is R8424P66, County Board of Equalization Procedures and Appeals, pursuant to Utah Code Annotated Sections 592516, 592101, and 592104. The proposed amendments address when a County Board of Equalization is required to accept an appeal filed after the deadline for filing a property tax appeal, which is generally September 15th of each year. The proposed amendments generally require the County Board of Equalization to first decide whether to accept a late filed appeal by written decision, and this determination is then appealable to the commission. In addition, the proposed rule amendment provides similar procedures and requirements for a County Board of Equalization to accept a late filed appeal under the Farmland Assessment Act if the appeal is filed not more than 60 days after the deadline for filing the appeal, which is generally within 45 days after the denial of valuation under the Farmland Assessment Act. Finally, the proposed rule amendment modifies the circumstances under which a County Board of Equalization is required to accept a late filed appeal and makes technical changes.
Thank you for that explanation. Any questions of Commissioner Rockwell? Hearing none, Commissioner Rockwell for a motion.
I move to adopt the amendments to R8824-24P66, County Board of Equalization Procedures and Appeals, pursuant to Utah Code Annotated Sections 592516, 592101, and 592104.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Hearing none, roll call vote. Commissioner Cragen.
Aye.
Commissioner Rockwell.
Aye.
Commissioner Valentine votes aye. Motion passes unanimously. The rule is adopted. Finally, Commissioner Cragen. Commissioner Rockwell.
Thank you. The final rule is R8824-24P53, 2025 Guides for Valuation of Land, subject to the Farmland Assessment Act, pursuant to Utah Code Annotated, Section 592515. This rule amendment authorizes the State Tax Commission to make rules necessary. It's actually Section 592515 that authorizes the State Tax Commission to make rules necessary to effectuate the Farmland Assessment Act. Section 592514 creates the State Farmland Advisory Committee and requires a person appointed by the commission to serve as chair, and currently Commissioner Freskas is serving as chair of this committee. The committee reviews classifications of land in agricultural use in various areas of the state and recommends a range of values for each classification based on productive capabilities of the land when devoted to agricultural use. The recommendations are then submitted to the commission for approval and publication in rule. This proposed rule represents the committee's recommendations.
Thank you. I'll make a quick comment. I appreciate Commissioner Fresca's diligence. This particular thing is difficult, but have to be done every year, or else we would have difficulties enforcing our Farm Assessment Act. Again, appreciation for her, even though she's not here to hear it. I personally appreciate her efforts on this. Are there any questions? If not, I'll go to Commissioner Rockwell for a motion.
I move to adopt the amendments to R8824-24P53, 2025 Guides for Valuation of Land, subject to the Farmland Assessment Act, pursuant to Utah Code Annotated Section 592515.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Hearing none, I'll place the motion. Roll call vote. Commissioner Cragen.
Aye.
Commissioner Rockwell.
Aye.
Commissioner Valentine votes aye. Motion passes. The amendments to the rule are adopted. Next item on the agenda is to discuss a proposal to modify the motor vehicle dealer education requirements. And we have several people here in the room, I'm sure, who want to speak on this one. I'll recognize first Sonia Johnson, Executive Director of Independent Auto Dealers Association of Utah. If you'd like to just maybe come up to the microphone here and make it easier for us.
Thank you very much. My name is Sonia Jorgensen. I'm the Executive Director of the Independent Auto Dealers Association of Utah. I want to just tell a little brief history of the dealer education that we're talking about today. It is in the statute under 41, and I usually know this right off the top of my head, 413201. And this started back in 99 or 2000 when our dealer bond was increasing. It went from 20,000 in the 90s to 50, now it's 75. And at that time, we were concerned about it, you know, getting so high that it was pushing dealers out of the business. And so it was proposed that we have a dealer education class that would really help with, you know, making sure dealers understand what's going to get them in trouble and what's going to lead to these bond claims. So that was developed, and it, the Independent Auto Dealers Association at that time spent a lot of money creating that and getting it, you know, organized and developed. It started being taught around that time, around 2000, 2001. In 2002, NBED, or the state, wanted to have it online, so they contracted with Mountain Land Applied Technology College and got that program written online. I was hired as their curriculum developer at that time, 2002, and so I've been teaching that class since then. In the beginning, of course, it was the Independent Auto Dealers Association. The new car dealers have a class that they teach just to their members, and Mountain Land and me. Since then, it's been kind of opened up, and we have a couple new providers that don't really know what they're doing so much. And one of them I know firsthand is a real estate law firm. They hired me, wanting me to develop a car dealer section of their practice. And they were already teaching classes to realtors, and they weren't able to get it really developed well, but then they took my course. And so they started teaching that course. And once they did, we started getting some bad information sent out, and we didn't really like that. For example, last year we had a new transaction form that was passed into law, and they sent out an email to all dealers saying from mved.org, don't forget this transaction form has to go to the DMV for every deal that you sell. And so, of course, MVD got a lot of calls, DMV got a lot of calls, we got a lot of calls saying, why didn't you tell us this? Well, because it's not true. And so what we want to do is we want to be able to, since we have a great channel of communication with MBED and with DMV, we want to be able to provide that information to dealers without this misinformation getting out. We know Mr. Bickmore just stepped in. He's a new car dealers association. He teaches his class. He has a direct line with MBED and DMV to get the right information. The RV Dealers Association is here. They teach a class. They have a direct line to MBED and DMV. These other providers don't so much. I'm fielding calls all the time and have forever trying to get new dealer licenses. People call and say, hey, I see you offer the dealer orientation. I want to know about getting a dealer's license. And I start asking them questions. Do you have a location? Because I know that's really difficult to get. Do you have a bond? Because that's really difficult to get. I feel like fielding those questions helps with MVED's job. And so I've had a lot this year of calls saying, I have the location in University Mall. I'm going to have my dealership there. Like, that's not going to work. Oh, well, I'm going to do it out of my house. Well, you can't do that either. And, you know, I just want to make sure that this information is correct. And I don't know how those questions are being answered by those other trainers. And so we are here to, you know, just kind of talk about that. And I just wanted to give that brief history, and now I'll turn it over to our president, Nick Marcosa, and to explain what he wants to do.
Yeah, I have a quick question up for you. Okay. So the communication that came from MVED.org did not come from us.
No.
Have you filed any kind of complaint regarding it? Because it appears like it's a misrepresentation or a fraud.
I have not. It was sent to MVED. And of course, they knew too that this information was getting out. And we said, this email went out. It's obviously not you guys, but it was believed to be by MVED, and theirs is not org. And so they knew it wasn't them. And we just really quickly said, this is not really MVED.
Okay. We'll ask MVED to follow up on that. Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you.
Hello. Thank you for the time. I'm Nick Marcosian. I'm president of the Used Car Dealer Association. I'm also on the National Independent Auto Dealers Association board. I've spoken all over the country at different conventions and things, and I can tell you that the states that do this have a very robust association, and I think it can make a big difference. You know, as hard as it is to become a used car dealer, it's much, much easier to become a used car dealer than it is an RV dealer or a new car dealer. The barrier to entrance is much lower. And so that can introduce folks that, you know, may not understand things, and we want to have a, you know, a little bit of oversight and control over those dealers and be able to quickly, you know, take some action when things aren't right. Right now, we have approximately 1,500 used car dealers in the state of Utah, and we have about 115 members in the association. Virginia, Mississippi, Nebraska, they all have their associations do the education courses exclusively, and their membership is much more robust than in Utah. And we want to improve the membership and improve our dealer, the quality of the used car dealers in Utah. So that's why we're here.
Good. Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak on this particular subject? We do recognize that Mr. Craig Bickmore has also entered the room. We did that for the purpose of the record that we create on this hearing. Yes, Sonia, do you want to come back up?
I just quickly wanted to recognize Jeff Watson, who's online, and I don't know if he feels comfortable discussing it. He felt like it was like he should be here, but he couldn't be here because he's in St. George. Okay. And if he'd like to discuss anything, then I'd really like to have him follow up on anything we might have missed.
Mr. Watson, would you like to address the commission?
Thank you. Thank you for your time. Jeff Watson, owner of Four Seasons Auto. I'm also a board member of the State Association. I think the comments were great by Sonia and Nick. Again, our goal here is just to improve the quality of education, to be a frontline defense to MVED for dealer issues, just to overall raise the bar and the standard that all used car dealers should have. And I think by the division allowing us to be the sole provider of the education course for licensing for the used car dealers, I think we can have the ability to do that, to make sure the new dealers who are getting into the industry have a realistic expectation of the standards, the rules, the laws, the do's, the don'ts, and also assistance just from a business model standpoint, how to be a successful dealer, best practices, accounting. So the idea is, of course, not to stifle or eliminate any kind of competition in this area. We just feel like it's an area that is best served by an association that is non-for-profit. We have no interest in the financial gain of used car dealers. We have a board that is elected by used car dealers and ran by used car dealers. So we have a very, I would say, deep interest in the success and the level of quality of used car dealers in this state. So that's kind of our plea and our ask there. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Any other public comment before I close the public comment? Yes, Adam, come forward.
Thank you for the time today. Adam Jones with Independent Dealer Solutions and the RV Dealers Association. Independent Dealer Solutions has been a provider of education for over 20 years. We were one of the first that started with education. We provided a great curriculum. And I think one of the things that's important to know is the curriculum that's provided that's required to be taught is curriculum that has to be approved. It was a number of years after the initial education happened that we went back and there was changes that were made legislatively. One of those changes was to require the curriculum had to be submitted to the division. And that was an important piece that happened. That was roughly, I think, 2008, after we made changes to the legislature had made changes to the bond side of things to help address issues that were going on with dealers going out of trust. And we have since that point, also added additional things of requirements that need to be in that education. So I think it's very important to realize that the education that is provided is education that has to be approved by the division. And if there are concerns about the amount or the type of curriculum that's being presented, that may be something that the division would want to look at as well and review and maybe look at a little bit tighter. Because I think there are good providers of education. beyond the Dealers Association, beyond us, that we have the New Car Dealers Association. So those are the three that I'm familiar with, and I think do a great job of providing education and helping to correct when there is other issues that are brought up. I know the issue of the MBED.org email that was sent out, we received a lot of calls in regard to that as well, and we helped direct dealers to make sure that they were getting the correct information and reaching out to motor vehicle as well. So we would just encourage that we continue to have those discussions about curriculum to make sure that the curriculum is right. But I think there are great opportunities for providers that have been doing this for years and have been around for years to still continue to provide that education for the dealers. Thank you. And I, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer those.
Thank you very much, Adam. Yes, Mr. Pickmore.
Mr. Chair, Madam Commissioner Scott, thank you, Director. Craig Bickmore from the New Car Dealers of Utah. Grateful to be here. I haven't been here for a little while, and so the turn lanes are just a little encumbered, especially turning left on Redwood, so I apologize I was late. You know, I share the same thought processes of all of these people to some degree. I think the associations do a tremendous job in educating their membership. I'm a little bit concerned that it would be exclusive. I know some of our dealers, if they can't come to our training and it has to be approved, as Adam said, they will go to other trainers. And so we like that ability to not just go to us, but to go to other people as well, because we may not be able to fill that need. We want strong associations, whether it's RV, used car, or new car. We obviously would believe that's a great source for the industry and professionality. And I'm just concerned that as we become more exclusive, that may be not for the benefit of our members in case we're not able to provide that. And so from our standpoint, a little more openness is helpful. We are concerned about the MBED.org. Candidly, I thought before I knew better and talked to Alan, that was Alan's, because that's not ours. And I've actually sent people there for training when they weren't able to come to ours, not knowing it wasn't yours. So those are my comments. I wanted to thank you all for what you do. We probably have the best tax commission on the planet, just to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McFarland. Just so that you know, communications coming from the state will always have an extension .gov. So we'll put that on the record to remind people that if it's as .org or .com or some other extension, it's not from the DMV, it's not from MBED, it's not from the State Tax Commission. Those extensions always have a .gov. That domain is protected by federal and state laws. Any other comments? Public for comments?
One more.
A final comment?
Come
forward.
Yes. So, yeah, Mr. Jones was correct. We were talking about 41.3.201.10d, and in that it says that the division shall approve providers of the orientation class and costs of the orientation class. And then, of course, later they added that the curriculum has to be approved by MBED and include ethics training, motor vehicle title and registration processes, insurance requirements, public safety requirements, federal requirements, and anything else in compliance. So of course, yes, they take that course and they approve it. But when we started asking, like, how do we, you know, really try to narrow this down and try to keep some of these bad players out, they said we need to change it statutorily. And so we feel like this is pretty clear that they have discretion over who is the provider, but of course they don't want to limit competition or look like they're playing favorites or anything. And so we're just asking that used car dealers be able to come to the Used Car Dealers Association for their training. And, you know, we know the RV dealers do a great job. The new car dealers do a great job. They're always welcome at the used car dealers class too. So I just want to specify that. And we're just trying to find some language that needs to be changed and what needs to be changed in that language.
So you're asking for a statutory change or a rule change?
Kind of both, I guess. I mean, we don't really know why the statute doesn't help MBED and give them the teeth that they need to have this discretion. And so if it's something administratively that they need, then we're just here to help them to try to make sure that gives them, you know, the ability to do their job, what they need to do.
Thank you. Does MBED wish to make any comment at this time?
Sure.
You don't have to, just it's an invitation.
Yeah. Alan Shinney for the division.
I do appreciate the comments that have been made today. I think that I'm a free market person. I think that the governor's office has adamantly enhanced and encouraged people to come forward and to make a place at the table to help implement progress. I do believe that it's our regulatory responsibility to make sure the training is accurate and correct, and I think that we do a pretty good job of that. I do support the premise that it be governed by the associations, because I think a strong association does help with the things that have been forecasted, especially with keeping dealers into compliance. But as I looked through Webster's yesterday, I looked up the definition of entrepreneur. And entrepreneur says clearly, one that assumes the risk of business. And with that being said, it doesn't matter who the trainer is, because all the people when we've had interactions with them on compliance issues have said, well, they didn't tell us that in training. Specifically, our comments always been, well, it's your responsibility to know the regulations that you're under and that you're prescribed to know, because clearly that's done in the training issues. So whatever we can do to improve those, of course, we would be vested in pursuing that. We have been working on the MBD.org thing forever. Our hands are strapped, and our attorney for the tax commission would say that we are working on that right now, and we're just waiting for from the AG's office to make a ruling on the changes to clarify those domains. Outside of that, I think that it's really important too that we have the rule change I'm kind of confused about, to be honest with you, because if it's not exclusive, then if I was to bring up a business tomorrow to do training, I don't think it would be fair that I would be denied that. So that's why I would think that they would need a rule change to govern that or to make it restricted. If anyone has any questions, I'm available.
Thank you.
Okay.
I have none.
Thank you.
Can I just make one point of clarification?
Yes, please.
We're only talking about...
Help me cover the microphone so everybody else can
hear. We're only talking about used car dealers that we would propose the change to. We have nothing to do with new car dealers, and there's a lot less new car dealers than used car dealers, and the barrier to entry in new cars is way higher than used cars. So we're specifically talking about used car dealers.
Thank you. One final comment from MBED. Yes, please.
That's a good valid point that Mr. Marcosian brings up, but keep in mind, we also are over body shops, which is a training responsibilities, power sports, which is training responsibilities, and they don't necessarily fall under a used motor vehicle dealer.
Salvage.
Correct.
Well, thank you. Okay, I'm going to close the public comment period. I'm going to now to the commissioners. Commissioner Cragen, do you have any comment here? I'm going to recognize Commissioner Rockler here in a minute for a motion.
I don't believe that I have any comments. I just thank everybody for attending the meeting and sharing their thoughts with us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Rockler for a motion.
Yes, so I'll reserve the right to make a motion, but just want to make a comment first. I do appreciate all of the testimony and the education that's been proffered to us today. That being said, it seems like there are some issues that need to be sorted through here, including the adequacy of the statutory authority to make the changes that are being proposed. And so with that, I will go ahead and make a motion that we not proceed with rulemaking at this time, but that we continue to have discussions with interested parties on this issue to see if there is a path forward that is acceptable to everybody after conducting further research on the authority.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion, Commissioner Cragen.
Actually, I don't think the motion is in order. This was not listed as an action item on our agenda. It was listed as a discussion item. And so I don't think there's any action for us to take today, but certainly the spirit of Commissioner Rocco's proposed motion is I support.
Okay, Commissioner Rockwell, he's
okay. Reading. I'll go ahead and withdraw the motion, and we'll take this under advisement and proceed accordingly.
Since it was only scheduled as a discussion item, I think that the objection was valid. So thank you, Commissioner Cragen.
Thank you.
Next item is considering approving a settlement agreement for Access America, Inc. versus Utah State Tax Commission. This case is pending in the Utah 3rd Judicial District Court. It's case number 23090279. This is an action item. Commissioner Cragen.
Thank you. The parties have engaged in negotiation and have reached a settlement agreement. There have also been some statutory changes since the original appeal was filed. And so we propose that we resolve the appeal that is pending in the district court and authorize our counsel to sign the documents.
Thank you. Any questions of Commissioner Cragen before I recognize him for motion? Hearing none, Commissioner Cragen.
Thank you. I just offer my appreciation to our counsel who's here with us today. I don't believe anybody has any questions, but I'm ready to make that motion now. I move that we approve the settlement agreement for Access Americas Incorporated versus Utah State Tax Commission, which is pending in the Utah 3rd Judicial District Court as case number 23090283, and authorize our counsel's signature on the related documents.
Thank you, Commissioner. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Hearing none, I'll place the vote. Roll call vote. Commissioner Cragen.
Aye.
Commissioner Rockwell.
Aye.
Commissioner Valentine votes aye. The settlement is approved. Our counsel is authorized to sign the related documents settling the case. Next item is to consider publication revisions. There are four publications that have been revised. This is a public notice only. Publication 25, Sales and Use Tax General Information. Publication 58, Utah Interest and Penalties. Publication 62, Sales Tax Information for Telecommunications Service Providers. And Publication 67, Cannabinoid Products Tax. Next item on the agenda is Commissioner Reports. Do either of the commissioners have a report they wish to give at this time?
Nothing.
I have nothing either. We'll go on to the next item on the agenda, Executive Director's Report. Executive Director, do you have anything to report?
I don't have anything at this time.
Yes.
We had a few more people pop up online, Robbie West and Chris Stitt.
Okay. Robbie West
has since hopped off.
He's a board member of the used car.
Okay, thank you. And Chris Stitt is with LRGC, Legislative Research General Counsel's Office. Thank you very much for that. We got a good record. No other business to come before the commission? Commissioner Cragen for motion.
I move that we adjourn.
Thank you. Motion adjourns in order. Undebatable. Those in favor of the motion say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. We're adjourned. Thank you all very much for coming.
Thank you for your time.